starting chapter 4. Chapter 4 is entitled The Human World, meaning we're moving now from physical geography and looking at the world, plate tectonics, kind of the earth science part of the course. We're now moving on to looking at the human side of the course. Because remember when I originally described geography, at least in the way that we teach it here at the high school level, it's encompassing both the human and the natural elements, looking at kind of how we interact with our environment and vice versa, the effects we have on our environment and the effects the environment has on us. So now we're going to focus in on the human side of things. Okay, starting off, section 1 looks at world population and population growth. You know, population growth varies from country to country and is influenced by cultural ideas, migration, and level of development. Okay, now, I wouldn't expect you to get all that down. But take note of some of the different things that influence population growth that we're talking about here. Cultural ideas, that might be attitudes on children, how many children you have. That might mean what you do for a living. That might be affected, and we'll talk about that a little bit later on. How what you do for a living might affect how many children you have. Where you live might affect how many children you have, because it's different raising kids in a rural setting versus a city. And population growth is not necessarily just looking at how many births there are each year. It's also looking at the migration, the people moving back and forth from place to place. Population growth of Aberdeen is not just affected by how many people are born each year, but also how many people move in. I'm not originally from Aberdeen. How many people in here aren't originally from here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Oh, 5. Okay, 5 out of about 28 or so today. What's that? Almost 20%. A little bit less. So you see how that could play a role. This class would be 5 people smaller, it would be 23 people instead of 28 people today, if it wasn't for migration, people coming in and out of Aberdeen. You can imagine that would make a substantial difference in this class, for example. And also the level of development of a place has an impact on population growth. We'll look at why in just a second. First off, we need to know a number of different terms. Looking at people and the trends as far as migration, as far as population growth or decrease, we call this demography, the study of populations, populations of people. We call that demography. Let me move my cursor here, get that off the screen. The birth rate is the number of births per year for every 1,000 people. On the flip side, the death rate, the number of deaths per year for every 1,000 people. We also use the term natural increase, which means, which looks at the growth rate. It's the difference between the area's birth rate and the death rate. So if you have more births per year than deaths, you have a natural increase in that area. If you had 5 births in a certain area like Aberdeen a year and you only had 2 people pass away, you would have a natural increase of 3 people that year. So we talked about before migration. Migration is the movement from people of people from place to place. This is also going to affect, obviously, population growth or decrease. If all of a sudden 5,000 people get up tomorrow and move out of Aberdeen, that's going to dramatically change the population of Aberdeen from about 25,000 down to 20. Okay. And it has nothing to do with births or people passing away. Okay. The overall, when geographers look at an area like Aberdeen, they look at, they use a formula to, which we call the demographic transition model. This uses birth rates and death rates averaged out to show changes in the population trends of a country or region. So this is one of the primary things that geographers do. And you get a lot of this information if you say Google Aberdeen and you bring up the population. They're always taking down information on populations of specific cities, counties, whatever. If you go to Wikipedia, you're going to get information on populations of Aberdeen or wherever you you Google search. They're going to look at that information, but they're also going to look at how the place is changing. Is it growing? Is it decreasing? Because that's going to have a real effect on what it's like to live in that place. We call that the demographic transition model. In general, falling death rates are due to improved health care, more abundant food supplies, and better living conditions. And you can kind of see why that might be. Improved health care. Obviously, more people are going to live longer with improved health care, so therefore the death rates are going to decrease. More abundant food supplies, you're going to have healthier people living longer again, and better living conditions in general. Better living conditions, cleaner living conditions, keep away disease, basically. Some of the major diseases throughout history were caused by unsanitary conditions. Okay, dirty conditions, nasty conditions. Most industrialized nations have reached something we call zero population growth, where the birth rate and the death rate are equal. You find the more a country progresses, the more technological it gets, the more wealthy it gets, typically you don't have huge spurts of population growth rate anymore. And that might seem surprising. We'll get to that in just a second. We find that families that live in agricultural areas tend towards having more children because of a need for future labor on the farm. So, this is why this is an overall concept that you're going to need to know. Okay. Typically what we find is that rural areas, people tend to have more children. The reason for that is, imagine living on a farm. You know, some of you might. If you live on a farm, and you're, for example, producing your own food, you can support a larger family population, you can have more kids, okay, without it costing you a whole lot more. But also, if you run a farm, you need a lot of people and hands to run that farm. So it's an advantage in that case to have more kids. Because, as you guys know, that live on farms, you're free labor. Okay? So, if you live in a rural area, if you live on farms, there's a real incentive to have more kids. Now that's different if you live in a city. It's different if you live in a city. Why? Why do you think it'd be different if you live in the city? Why do you think there'd be less incentive to have more kids if you live in a city? Just take a guess. We haven't talked about it yet. It's not a right or wrong thing. Jordan? You got to buy your food? Yep, absolutely. If you're not producing food on the farm, you got to buy your own food. Therefore, if you have five kids instead of two, it's a lot more money. Yep. Anything else? Why else might it be not as... you might not have... Why would it not be as good of an idea to have a lot of kids in a city? Nothing else? What about living conditions? What about the house that you live in? Say you have five kids instead of two. You gotta have a bigger house. You gotta have a way bigger house. Bigger houses, when you go to buy them, what's the difference? They cost way more money. Yep. Also, where are you gonna go after you graduate from high school?
College.
College. Is college free?
No.
No. Okay. Typically, if you live in the city, it's a different lifestyle. It's a different lifestyle. But if you live in the city, typically there's not a whole lot of kind of labor benefits that your parents are going to get from you, from having you. Okay. They're going to have to buy more food for you because they don't produce their own food. They're going to have to either send you to public school or possibly pay for private school. Okay. They're going to have to buy a bigger house, which is going to cost more money, especially in urban areas. Houses are more expensive in general, but if you have to get a big house for more kids, way more expensive. And then chances are, if you're going to live in an urban area, a lot of the jobs that you're going to need to get in the future are going to require college degrees. Higher advanced education, either community college or a four-year college. That means you probably need to go on to college. That means your parent is probably going to be responsible for paying for that college. Therefore, if they have to send five kids to college instead of one or two, that costs them a lot more money again. So you see what I'm getting at? A lot less incentive if you live in a city or an urban area to have more kids, whereas on a farm there's more incentive. Does that make sense? Okay. Another term that we want to know is doubling time. This is, again, with looking at demography. Doubling time is the number of years it takes a population to double in size. And this is always somewhat surprising because when you factor in the math, for example, a population can double really quickly. If you look at Aberdeen, which is a population of about what right now? About 25,000? About? Okay. If, and this is going to be surprising, but if Aberdeen grows by 7% for 7 years, it will double in size. It will go from 25,000 to 50,000. And you might be looking at that and be like, that doesn't seem right. It works out. It does. Because every year when you grow 7%, you're now taking 7% of that larger number. So it only takes 7 years at 7% to double. So, anyway, doubling time. Number of years it takes the population to double in size. Another term you need to know. Some of the challenges caused by growth, population growth. Growing populations, they demand more food. Demand more food to support the people. So if you're going to have growing populations, you need to have more productive agriculture. You need to produce more food. In addition, populations that grow quickly, they use up their resources rapidly. Maybe those resources might be timber. If all of a sudden you have a population boom, you're going to need more houses. You might need to cut down more forests to make more houses. Okay. So you're going to go through resources more rapidly. In some places, they can face shortages of water, housing, or clothing, and many other things. Especially if you live in an area that already doesn't have a ton of water, which Aberdeen doesn't really have a ton of water. Well, it's got a fair amount. But certain areas, more desert-like areas, if you were, for example, in Las Vegas. Las Vegas doesn't have any natural water of its own. So if Las Vegas's population all of a sudden doubled in size, they would have to get a whole bunch more water. They don't have any of their own, so they're going to be kind of in a spot. They're going to have to bring in more water from somewhere else. Okay, so they're going to be challenged in that way. So there's a lot of different things. When populations grow quickly, it puts stress on that place in order to adapt. At times, populations don't grow. Sometimes they go down. We call this negative population growth. Negative population growth, so it's actually going down. The annual death rate in this case exceeds the annual birth rate. Instances where this might apply might be a situation where there's been war. Might be a country that's undergone a war. So you're still having children, but there's so many people dying because of a war. It might be a place that has really bad disease. A lot of different things lead to negative population growth. Some of the problems caused by it, if you have a drop in the number of people, you might have a hard time finding enough workers to keep that economy growing. For example, if you want to grow the business of Aberdeen, you need enough people to work at, say you want to build 5 new hotels and bring in way more people, more tourism, for example. Okay, there's a big bird migration that happens here in the summer, right? Early spring, summer. Maybe you want to build 5 more hotels, bring in more people, more money. Okay. So that people can make more money around here. You need, in order to do that, you need a bunch of staff to run the hotels, right? You might need 50, 60 staff per hotel. If your population is growing, or decreasing, I'm sorry, you might not be able to do that. Maybe you can build the hotel, but you might not have enough people to run it. Okay, so it can hold back the economy if you're losing people instead of gaining people. Okay. Oftentimes what this does is it creates a need for immigrant labor. If you want to grow the economy and you don't have enough people to fill the jobs, oftentimes, especially you see this a lot in the European countries, they need immigrant labor. Okay. They need immigrant labor to fill those spots. If you're not producing more people yourselves, you need to bring in people from somewhere else to staff those jobs. Okay? This happens a lot in Europe, happens in the Southwest, in America, happens in a lot of different places. And as we know, that can cause some tensions. You're bringing in a group of people from a different place, there can be different cultures involved, can bring in a lot of different tensions along with it. Anytime you have people competing for jobs, especially when you have some people that are coming from different places, might have a different background, you're going to have some conflict and some tension. Population distribution. What this means is that all across the earth, people are not evenly distributed. And we know this. Look at South Dakota. South Dakota is fairly minimal as far as its population goes, right? Very different than, for example, New York State out in the east. The East Coast in general is much more populated than it is out here in the Great Plains. So, you know, the world population distribution is uneven and is influenced by the following. It's influenced by migration, where people are moving to. More people are moving to the East Coast, more people are moving to Florida, more people are moving to Texas, some of the warmer places, than are moving to Aberdeen, South Dakota. That's just a fact. Okay. So what influences population distribution? Where are people moving to? And the physical geography of that area. If there's no water, if it's dry, if it's uncomfortable to live there, people aren't going to move there. Or people aren't going to stay there. They're going to leave. So what is population distribution? It's the pattern of human settlement, around the world. Okay. Only about 30% of the Earth's surface is land. Look at that map back there. Of all of the surface area of the Earth, only about 30% is actually land. And then take away from that, we've got 6 billion people in the world. Only 30% of the Earth is actually livable for people. And then it's actually, think about this, it's actually less than 30%. We can't live everywhere. Where can we live? Where?
Antarctica.
Antarctica. Pretty much miserable to live there. It would be nearly impossible. Basically, nobody lives there. Where else can we not live? Sahara Desert. I mean, you can do it now with modern technology, but it's very difficult. No water, too hot, can't grow anything. Absolutely. You're not going to have many people living there. And let's expand it from the Sahara Desert. In general, pretty much deserts in general. Very difficult to live in. Las Vegas is kind of the modern experiment where we've thrown a city out in the middle of nowhere. But the only reason we can do that is because we take a bunch of water from the Colorado River and bring it out there. Okay, that is like a man-made, it's a totally man-made creation with modern technology. You go back 100 years, we couldn't have Las Vegas. That has to do with irrigation, that has to do with bringing water from other places. Okay, you couldn't do that long ago. So, in general, deserts are not a good place for us to live. Where else? Mountains. You can't live on the top of mountains. You might be able to live a little way up the side of them, but you get to a certain point, typically they call it the tree line, you can't grow anything anymore. It also might be too steep to have a house or anything like that. It gets very difficult. You can't live on the top of Mount Everest. Right? So look at all the wrinkles on this map. Look at all the mountains. That's all area where you can't live. So with 30% of the Earth is quote-unquote is land, much less than that even, is actually livable for people. So, with 6 billion people, what's going to happen? You're going to get a lot of people jammed into some areas that are good, that are livable areas. Okay. So, when geographers look at population distribution, they try to figure out why people live in certain places, and what do they find? They find that most people live where there's fertile soil, where they can grow things, and not all places have good soil. South Dakota has fairly good soil here. Some places, you can try to grow things and nothing will grow. Most people are going to move out of that environment or not live there altogether. Okay. So most people are going to live where there's fertile soil, where there's available water. Got to have water, right? And a climate without harsh extremes, which make human life very difficult, like Antarctica, like we just talked about. If life's going to be nearly impossible, you're probably not going to want to live there. It's just not worth it if you can find a place that's easier to live. So most people are going to live in these areas. If the equator runs through here, what's life like at the equator? What's the climate like? Really hot. some places you can get some stuff to grow, some places it's going to create desert-like conditions, but it's going to be really hot. It's going to be kind of tough. If you get kind of in these middle sections, you notice a lot of the local populations are here throughout Europe, throughout Asia and here. Most of the population centers are going to be either north of the equator or south of the equator. Because you get more of those middle temperatures. You get more livable, more comfortable temperatures. Okay. So our most densely populated continents, surprise, surprise, Europe and Asia. Okay. 60% of the world's population is in Asia. And the overall trend for where people are living today as well is most people are moving out of rural areas and they're moving into cities. It's a process we call urbanization. Most people are moving into what we call metropolitan areas or cities in their surrounding areas, suburbs, stuff like that. Okay. Not as many people are living a rural farm lifestyle anymore. Most people are finding that they can make a better living, okay, working in cities, working in factory jobs, working in office jobs, versus living and growing things on a farm, living in rural areas. So the general trend around the world is more and more people are condensing into the cities, leaving the surrounding rural areas a little bit more sparsely populated. Okay. That's a process, like I just said, call that urbanization. And this is probably one of the key terms of this entire course. When you look at the world as a whole, most people are moving into cities. A lot of different reasons for that. It's getting a little bit harder in some places to grow things. That's a cause. As we look at Africa, we're going to see that quite a bit. In places that are getting drier, that are the rainy season is shorter, it gets more difficult to grow things. They find it's a little bit easier to make a good living working in a city, living in a city. Also, typically if you live in a city, you have better access to, you're going to have access to water. Okay? If you're on the grid, you're going to have access to water. Okay. You're going to have access to heat if you live in a colder area. You're going to have a lot of access to things. You're going to have a grocery store right down the street. Whereas it can be a little bit more difficult if you live in a rural area. And I'm sure a lot of you know this. Okay. You don't necessarily just have a grocery store around the corner that you can walk to or something like that. So a lot of people around the world are trending towards moving into cities and living in cities. Okay. Primary cause for this is high-paying jobs. Most of the high-paying jobs today are in the cities. There was one point in time where being a farmer was probably one of the better jobs out there. Still is in some cases, but what we find is that there are these huge industrial farms now. It's much more difficult to compete with these big industrial farms if you're a small farmer. A lot of the small farmers are actually going out of business. Okay. Most of our high-paying jobs today are in the cities. Okay. Today, about half of the world's population, about 3 billion out of the 6 billion people, live in cities. Okay. That was kind of the final big point that I wanted to get to today. Those are not all your notes. There are more notes online, but that's all that I'm going to cover for today.